Thank you for listening to this message from Hope Fellowship in Carrollton, Texas. We pray this message encourages you and impacts your life. Feel free to pass this MP3 along to your friends and family. And for more information, visit us on the web at hopedfw.com.
I just want to encourage all of us. I mean, I love what they're doing out at Bethel, and it's been my heart to see God reproduce it here. I mean, we have to honor one another. You see, they don't have to bring in a bunch of prophets from the outside. They believe that the Spirit of God does what He says He does. He prophesies. You see, Andrew, you don't know how much that word was so right on in Chris, and he so desperately needed that word today. You see, if we would start honoring one another, go, oh, well, it's Andrew. We go to the same church together. No, this is God going to speak to him. And I'm telling you what, when I think of your word, Dan, it's so spot right on. And really, you can have both. They're going to be a great world. But there is a transition coming for you that's going to be, it's going to cost you to go up even higher and deeper with God. I think you're going to have your same job. You're still going to be tithing $75,000 a year here. kidding. Now, that part wasn't God. But, well, let's just believe they get, no, just kidding. Kidding, a little fun here. But you see what I'm saying? There is something getting ready to happen in you and Jess both. And I really believe there's a visitation coming from God that's going to cause you to go, man, you know what? I do have a dream life. I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful home. I get to live only a mile and a half from my favorite pastor of all times. That's me. And all of those different things, it's like, no, God, I'm going after you with all of my heart. There is getting ready to be a visitation to you and your household. And to both of you guys, such a spot right on, so spot right on of Coley and just so forth and so on. I don't know Alice that well, but I'm sure it was so spot right on. So we have to come here honoring one another. Push past all the stuff. Well, I know that person. He's got bad spiritual BO. Well, we all do at different times. We do. Believe it or not, I've had it one time in my 22-year journey. Just kidding. Many a days and several t-shirts on it. But we have to choose a culture of honor. Because then when David Mazden gets up, we go, no, we know he's got a word. We know that he's fixing to speak from the heart of God. Because you see, we have to treat one another that's treasure within earthen vessel. I mean, even Matt having that word that he had a couple of weeks ago here, it was like, man, because he even said, it's the first time I've ever done it in the church. And it was so spot right on. And that's the reason we all have to choose, you know, to live from a culture of honor. The first way it starts is the way that you honor God. It goes back to the deal of first place. To the degree that you spend time with God, and I'm not talking about 24 hours a day, but to the degree that you honor God is the degree that you'll build a culture of honor in your own home. The way that you'll build a culture of honor in your workplace. I don't care if it's Babylon. Babylon had a revival because of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did they do? They didn't eat from the delicacies of the table of the world. They gave their honor to God. And because of that honor to God, number one, and honoring one another, the most pitiful, sinful city on the face of the earth had a revival where kings that couldn't stand God, all of a sudden said, we are serving the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How you choose to honor God will start building a culture of honor in your home, in your workplace, and in your city. Amen? Man, that's a good word right there alone. I mean, I'm glad that Rhett got it. I'm telling you, honor, like this past week. Don't worry about it. They'll just make new copies next week. Just kidding. This past week, I was so sick and tired of all the dishonor that was going on of the decisions made from Washington, D.C. I'm not telling you who to vote for or anything that has nothing to do with it. My honor is to God. And my honor is to hear what God is saying. My honor is to pray for those in authority, as it says in Timothy. We really have to get about, it's time to flush down the spiritual toilet the American gospel that is so comfortable, and it's like, I think, who had the word last week about a Burger King having it my way? Is that you, Lori? That's the way the American church lives. Well, I want it my way. I will love those who love me, but if you do me wrong, I'll mark you out of my life. The way churches grow in America is church transfers. Let's have it my way. And it really is time to be about the kingdom of God. Amen? Come on, this is really good. I mean, it really is time. I mean, even today during worship, this is going to be a scatter shooting moment day. Did you come to church today asking God, God, what are you doing in the house today? I do. And yeah, well, I know. You get paid, Pastor. No. Are you coming to church on Sunday morning? The Bible says, I'm talking about prayer. Bible says that when one prays, you can put 1,000 to enemy to flight. When two of you pray, you can put 10,000 to flight. I love God's math. What would happen if just 40 people, if we really started praying? What kind of enemy would we put to flight today by bringing the presence of God? Again, that scripture. Did you come today? I got up about 5:15. I was up here, and again, you don't have to get up here early. You can get up at your house. I was up here about 5:45, getting ready. God, what are you saying? What are you saying? It's like, I'm going to release a spirit of prophecy today. And what does he do? He releases a spirit of prophecy. If we would all come to church on Sunday morning with our antennas that high, every one of us would be saying something to one another and declaring something over our cities. This past Wednesday night, we had a prayer time. We blessed our cities. It's time to quit talking about the bad in your cities, and it's time to put on the kingdom message of blessing your city. You're blessed to be a cursing, or you're blessed to be a blessing. Are you blessing your city that you live in? Are you blessing your workplace? Are you blessing your boss? Are you blessing your spouse? Are you blessing your children? Or are you talking more negative about them than blessing them? Amen? This is all word. This is all kingdom. And it's really time to be about Daddy's business. Okay? Here's a new one. Any thoughts or comments of what I just said? Seriously. You can talk from the mic. Jason, that means you have to go with what I said because I want the mic. Just
one thing that just hit me is that we as citizens of a city usually see ourselves in subservience to the king, the people that are in control. Do you feel that way? You get a vote, but you don't control anything, so we see ourselves as sort of pawns in the structure of the government. But because we are members of the highest kingdom, we literally can, you need to change your paradigm because you are above the kingdoms of this earth because you're co-heir with Christ. So then your prayers then are trying to bring that which you think is above you, but you're above it, you're trying to bring it up to your standard. Does that make sense? So pray that way.
You know, back this morning, then I'm just going to speak briefly on prayer. Now, remember my definition of brief. It's within 2 hours. Just kidding. Alice is over there going, oh, my gosh. She's a guest. But wouldn't it be awesome if we all got led more by the Spirit of God to our spirit than led by our flesh or body? Bible says we're made up of spirit, soul, and body, and I watch so many of us. The American gospel will tell you to be led, in my opinion, by your soul or body as much, if not more, than your spirit, man. And it really is time. I mean, I love the way just God was moving this morning. I hope that you felt it in your spirit. Because you see, if I have to be dictated by my life, by what I see all the time, to see if it gives me joy, man, am I going to be in for a disappointment of life. The Bible says that God calls those things as though they already exist. He lives in a realm that is full of peace, joy, and love all the time, and he expects you and I to pull that down. Jesus lived in a realm, even though he was asleep in a boat, and when the disciples thought they were fixing to go to the bottom of the little sea there, he gets up, living in a realm, as he calls those things as though they already exist. They wake him up. He doesn't wake up in a bad mood. He just says, peace to the storm. That is time. That's the maturity that the body of Christ must get to. Amen? Just a scatter shooting moment. Hopefully you're enjoying it. Well, my message today, just quickly, and I promise you I'm going to go quickly on this, on prayer, is prayer is to be an audience of one, to the audience of one. Prayer is just a simple communion to the audience of the one. When we come together corporately, could you imagine? Let's paint a beautiful picture. Could you imagine if you and I have lived this entire week? Me individually, Celia individually, Randy individually, every one of us lived a life this past week in our prayer life. Prayer is just communion, communication with the Lord. Doesn't mean I have to close my eyes. Doesn't mean I have to get on my knees. It's when I'm driving in the car. It's when I'm playing golf. It's when I'm playing basketball in the pool. Whatever it is, I can be having communion with God. How would our service be different today if you and I lived that communion to the audience of the one this entire week? You see, because I'm trying to get us to see, we can start bringing on Sunday a dynamic that is so powerful that literally there's going to start being waves in the Spirit released outside these walls of this church. You see, if we'll get it together and we have this audience of the one, that the very music that we sang, Lord, I've got to have your glory. God, let me see your beauty. Lord, let me see your beauty. If that hunger and passion really got in our spirit, every time that I rise up in the morning, my city's blessed because of my passion and hunger for God. So how have you been doing in your audience to the one? Let's look at a couple of scriptures that I think will reflect what I'm talking about. Let's first look at Exodus 33. As you turn there, Moses has lived a life. You heard me preach a couple of weeks ago about how in Exodus 3 he encountered God at this burning bush. And the encounter was so amazing that his life would be forever changed. I want to encounter God not only in this moment. I want to encounter him later today. I want to encounter him tomorrow and Tuesday, that my life would be forever transformed. I really believe, again, we've got to trade up and trade out of this American gospel that it's all about encountering Jesus on our Sabbath and then we give him just little measly parts of our week. How many of you are tired of living like this? Because I see the American church, no wonder we don't have the power, no wonder we don't have the authority that I read and I hear about in Africa or other few churches that I'm starting to see move in the presence of God in the United States. When God told me to start Hope Fellowship in Cambodia, it wasn't that we could just all feel good about ourselves, that we got to do more in a church. No, my heart and prayer was is that we would come together and we would hunger for God because we wanted to touch the cities and nations for His name and His kingdom. Right? Well, see, you encountering God is not just for you. It's about everybody else that's in your world. You see, I don't work at the airport like Ty does. I don't work at Dr. Page's office in Plano and Garland. I don't go where Coley goes. I don't go where Shirella goes. They have their own world. But God wants them to seek after Him and to touch His heart. And God touched their heart that will affect their world. You see, what we're fixing to read about Moses on that first day after 40 years, minimum of 40 years of disappointments. He's on the backside of the desert and he sees a burning bush burning and he goes and he starts learning about having communion and communication with the living God. But was it just for him? No, it's for all of Israel that was caught up in bondage in Egypt. Your encounters are not just for you. God is a God of stewardship, and I really believe God's speaking so much more from heaven than what's being spoken in the natural from Washington, D.C. You see, what God is saying basically is what I think Rhett or Andrew said earlier to somebody. It's Rhett to my children. You've been given so much. It's time to pay up for what I've given you, America, Bride of Christ. I really believe that's what the Lord is saying prophetically. I have given you so much, it's time to go for it and release my glory. So Moses encounters God, and God almost immediately sends him to Egypt to release his children. Your communion with God every day is about going and releasing the captives. Amen, right? We have got to, American gospel says it's all about me, you, and I. Go ahead and get everything healed up before you got to go to God. Man, you can't not show me that anywhere in the Bible. It's about come and get touched. Let me touch you and go touch your world. I'll say it a better way. I'll say it the way that Bill Johnson says it. His ways are very good, what he says. I owe my world and an encounter with him daily. I want to say it again because I think it's a great phrase. I owe my world an encounter with him daily. Because you see, when I touch him and he touches me, my world will be affected and it will be changed. You see, I owe my wife an encounter with God today so that she is blessed. I owe my children and my grandchildren an encounter with God every day so that they're blessed. You see, I owe each and every one of you, because you're part of my world if you're coming to Hope Fellowship, I owe you an encounter with Him so that you're blessed. I want you to look to your neighbor to the right and left. Take a few moments to do it, right and left. Did you know that you're coming to the same church and you owe that person to your right and left an encounter with God today so that you might have a word for them? Your life's not your own. Mary, could you imagine if Rhett didn't get up and have an encounter with God today, you have not gotten that word possibly. You see, we've got to start living and understanding that people need a word from God so desperately, and you have the ability to touch God's heart and to hear what He's saying and go set them free. Can you imagine, Coley, if Andrew had not been having time with God, you wouldn't have got your word. Chris Parent wouldn't have got his word. And Andrew, I want to tell you, as you go out into the Bill Glass ministry and the prison deals, those guys need you to encounter God daily. Because they're going to be encountered, they're going to be transformed as you are encountering God. We are living too small in our thinking and too small in our understanding of why God put you in this time, in this place, right now. Dan, can you imagine if you start praying over all those people? He's a PT, physical therapist. Yesterday, him and Corey almost killed me in pool basketball, and he had to work on me a little bit. Can you imagine if you start praying over those guys, and they may not even know it, that their lives may be forever transformed? You may never see it. We have an opportunity and privilege to pray for people and see their lives transformed. Amen? I want to say it again. I owe my world an encounter with him daily. We owe our world an encounter with him daily. I just want to just read briefly here. After Moses had seen so many things, think about what Moses had seen up to this point. He's seen his staff turn to a snake. He's seen his own hand turn leprous. He saw his staff turn into a snake. The magicians of Egypt turned all of their staffs into a snake. He saw his snake, his staff that turned into a snake, become the first official Pac-Man like I shared a few weeks ago, and eat up all of the staffs of the Egyptians. He saw all the plagues that were starting to affect Egypt so that they would let their people go. And as I've been reading the story of Moses, I'm amazed of how there was up to a point that four or five of the plagues that the magician, the artist, the arts and satanic people were able to do the exact same trick, but then there came a time, this exact same miracle, there came a time that they couldn't. And I love that the couple of times, because God wants to get you and I back to the original mandate when He said, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth, have authority and legislate my kingdom in the places I put you in. Could you imagine, young women of God, that God could use you ladies to bring an entire revival transformation to your school? Because God wants us to think and be big like that, because he's given us the mandate to be fruitful, to multiply, and subdue the earth. When we walk into a place, and I've asked Rhett to preach here in about a month, and he was talking to me about when Joshua was told and Moses was told that where the sole of their feet tread, my kingdom is established. Did you know that when you walk into places, the kingdom of God is being released? But if all we do is walk in the soul, or we walk in the body and we don't walk into the spirit, that when we walk into a place, God, do you have a word for somebody in this store? It's time to start living for Jesus 24/7. Amen? And I love the point of back to the original mandate. When all the frogs had hit the face of the earth, and this is where you and I are going to be growing in our prayer life. Moses told Pharaoh something very, very cool, I think. He says, okay, I'm going to pray that the frogs are going to leave and they're going to have to all go and be in the Nile River. You see, that's subduing the earth, praying and decreeing something that geographically changes something, or only lets critters be at a certain place. Has anybody ever heard missionaries talk about when gnats or mosquitoes would be invading a meeting, and they would just take time to stop and pray, and all of a sudden the mosquitoes that were bombarding the meeting would just disappear? That's what happened here in the time of Moses in Egypt. All of a sudden, they get up the next morning, and where all these frogs were in Pharaoh's court, was in Pharaoh's house, was in Pharaoh's cookie jar, they all get up the next morning, and the frogs that weren't dead were all in the Nile River. You see, God's inviting you and I to come to a place of intimacy and prayer, that when we start praying about our neighborhoods and cities and our families, something is going to radically change in their life. Then it steps on to where, oh, there was flies. I mean, when you would look out there, one of the plagues, there was flies that you couldn't even see the sky. It was so full of flies. But God had a cool miracle here that he says, oh, I'm going to separate between Egypt and Goshen. There will be no flies where the children of Israel live. Church, I don't know if you're getting this. I mean, I think God's inviting us to really start praying over our nation and things, that we can start calling forth the justice of God where the injustice of the enemy is at. Now, as you think about it, look out this open window. Think about that. If you looked out there and you couldn't see a cloud because the flies were so numerous, but they weren't allowed to come into Hope Fellowship, even if we left the doors open. That's what God was saying was going to happen in this miracle. He was saying, I can be so legislative and powerful that my creation cannot go past a boundary line in the spirit and the natural. I believe you and I have that same authority and power to pray over. Because Jesus says, he says, you're going to learn to speak to mountains and they will go into the sea. Amen? Exactly. We're praying that there will be no infirmities, that we'll be an infirmities-free zone and a generational curse-free zone in this house. If what I'm talking to you is scripture, why can't that happen here if you and I will really go after it? Amen? So anyway, that's just the backdrop of Moses. I hope you kind of take the time to read about his life as we pray and as we speak on prayer. And I'll go quickly here. But it comes to this point. Here we are. Let's go. Verse 11 of Exodus 33. Inside of the tent meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. No wonder Joshua would be the guy that would take over the controls when Moses would leave. He learned to sit and stay in the presence of God. The tent of the meeting was the Ark of the Covenant that represented God, that they took everywhere that they went. Verse 18, it says, Moses responded, well, if he had said up to this point, he said, God, you have to go with us, that wherever we go, you have to lead us. And then he says, Lord, would you show me your glorious presence? Remember, you're to the audience of one. So he tells him, he says, I'll show you my glory. I'm going to put you in this little cleft of the rock. And tomorrow, the backside of my presence, my glory, is going to go in front of you. What happens as the glory of the Lord passes by, verse 5 of Exodus 34, then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. And he called out his name, Yahweh. And the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. So when you have that time with God every day, guess what you start getting and receiving? His unfailing love. Let's jump to Galatians 5:22. You and I have to take time every day to sit before the Lord. For some of us, our spiritual ADD, and I'm not being funny here, our spiritual ADD can only go about 5 minutes. Do it 5 minutes today. Prayer is learning to listen and be quiet and sit before His presence. As the Holy Spirit has come upon us today, gang, this is the fruit that 5:22 Galatians that should be seen in mine and your life, because we're learning to sit before Him every day. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of truth in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The more you and I come before Him and we sit, when that irritation comes, like what the Russells were showing us in that deal, when that irritation sits, you and I, the American church, will put walls around us and get isolated. You see, the more that we really trade up today with the kingdom message, when that irritation comes, guess what's just wave after wave comes? Love. And then I give it away. Then the next wave comes upon me and it's joy. The next wave that you saw in their picture and that visual is peace, and then patience, and then kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. As those irritations of life come upon us, these are the things that should be flowing to us and through us, because we're sitting before Him. And when I receive it, I give it away to my wife. I give it away to you. I give it away to the neighbor. I give it away to the guy on 635 or 35 who cuts me off because he's running late or whatever. I'm talking about just simple Christ-like living every day. But you see, when I don't do this, when I don't sit before the Lord every day, I do what's a few scriptures above. I'm jealous. I'm angry. I'm unkind. There's two cultures always colliding, two kingdoms always colliding. But if I will learn every day to come and sit before Him, in my time of communion and communication with Him, I can give Him away to my world that God's put me in. In closing, I just want to tie in this one scripture. If you'll turn to Proverbs 27:7. I promise you this is my first and last close. 27:7. I love the book of Proverbs. Hopefully you read Proverbs 1 today, the Proverbs of the day. Tomorrow you'd read Proverbs 2. A person, Proverbs 27:7, a person who is full refuses honey, but even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. I've seen too many times in my life when I'm full with the goodness of God, honey, satisfaction, I quit getting hungry for God. But what would happen today if we trade up to a kingdom gospel? That when bitter things do try to hit me, disappointments again, just what they just showed. Bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. Bad things, disappointments happen to us in life, but I'm going to stay hungry for God. I'm not going to blame God. My job can't change. My healing hasn't come. I want to stay hungry after God. As a pastor for 22 years now, I've seen some disappointments in life. And this scripture, I have to lean into through those times of disappointment. As a dad, as a husband, I have disappointing seasons. But I have to choose to look into Proverbs 27. And in the midst of those bitter things, those disappointments, I'm going to stay hungry for the honey of God's presence. I sent out probably about 10 days ago, it was a week ago this past Wednesday night, I was reminded of this scripture when Jackie Franks was here and we were gathered for prayer and we were gathered to teach on Ephesians. I'm reminded of this verse because as she is walking through an illness, she amazed me that she would come because she started some treatments that day. And during my teaching, I'm used to people falling asleep during my teaching, but she didn't fall asleep, kidding. But as during our teaching, she laid on the chairs because she wasn't feeling well. Disappointing things. I'm going to stay hungry after God.